We now bring to these microphones from Uganda in Africa, David James, who is one of our broadcast partners par excellence. We look at issues confronting the Christian body as they must understand how to deal with the issue from a biblical perspective. And a very interesting time we're having now getting a hold of David. In fact, I've got to be honest with you, we've had pretty difficult time trying to get a hold of him there in Uganda. But we're happy to be able to say we have been able to do that. David, talk to me about Uganda. What are you there for? I think it's a unique place in the world. How is it situated in Africa? So thus, it's more difficult for us to talk to you.
Sure. Yeah, great to be with you. This is my first time to Uganda, my first time to Africa. I'm with Word of Life here in Uganda and teaching at the new Word of Life Bible Institute. This is their first year. Uganda is in East Africa. It's just west of Ethiopia. It's a landlocked country south of Egypt and Sudan and north of Kenya. And we're just having a great time with the students here this week. And I was teaching God's Plan Through the Ages. And next week I teach on the charismatic movement to the students and also the entire staff.
Well, would you do me a favor? Please give our greetings from here at Prophecy Today to all those fine people in Uganda and the fact that there are students there studying the prophetic word of God, studying God's plan through the ages is an exciting report as far as I'm concerned. David, earlier in the week, you sent me a very long article concerning the Bible, which is the cover story in this week's edition of Newsweek, and it was going after the Bible. Explain a bit about this article.
Yes, you're right. It's a very long article. It's in a double issue of Newsweek for the first week in January by an author named Kurt Eichenwald. Actually, when you print out the article, it comes out to 34 pages long. So this is almost a book itself, and it's definitely taking the Bible to task. In fact, there are so many problems with misinformation, caricatures, mischaracterizations, in fact, some just outright false information, and it's really hard to believe.
Well, it is an article that someone has to go after because, and I'm going to talk to you about something we posted on the website that you sent along to us as well in just a moment, but talk to me about this author. He actually sounds very angry in the first couple of paragraphs and really goes after those who accept the Bible as the Word of God.
You're absolutely right. Let me just quickly read a couple of sentences from his first two paragraphs. He said, this is how it starts. They wave their Bibles at passersby, screaming their condemnations of homosexuals. They fall on their knees, worshiping at the base of granite monuments to the Ten Commandments while demanding prayer in school. They are God's frauds, cafeteria Christians who pick and choose which Bible verses they heed with less care than they exercise in selecting side orders for lunch. It's just a hard to become more, to be more condescending and angry than that.
Well, tell me who this author is. What authority does he have to even come to the table and attack the Bible?
Well, that's an interesting question. He's an editor, one of the contributing editors at Vanity Fair. He's written four books, I believe, done work with the New York Times. He's primarily known as an investigative reporter, doing a lot of pieces over the last 20 years over various scandals, whether it be the Clinton scandal or some of the corporate scandals. But the interesting thing is, I find no indication that he's ever done anything with regard to the Bible or religion. And for an investigative piece, his article appears as if there's no response to the issues he brings up, and they've been dealt with time and again for decades.
Well, talk to me about why Newsweek, in your opinion, would they run an article like this as its cover story?
Well, that's kind of hard to say. It's really difficult for me to believe that this article, as it really is a hit piece that has all kinds of problems, would even make it past a general editor. I guess controversy sells, and so he's stirring up the pot, and certainly he's gotten people's attention. But it's really silliness if you come right down to it.
David, I know that you sent me a blog piece by a man named Daniel Wallace. He is a professor there at Dallas Theological Seminary who is in somewhat responding to it. He's written quite almost a book worth of information against this attack. by this man in Newsweek. And I think people ought to be reading it. I have posted it on the homepage of our website under Must Read. But somebody does need to respond, and Dr. Wallace seems to have been able to do so.
Yes, he has. It's an absolutely excellent article, and he has other excellent articles as well. He can be found at danielbwallace.com. I also forwarded to some people an article by Dr. Al Mohler, who is president of Southern Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. And he also has an excellent article, taking a little bit different tack, but both of them really just demolish the things that Kurt Eichenwald says in his article.
Let's discuss a couple of the main issues that the author of the Newsweek article brings up. For example, he says that no one alive has read the Bible because we don't have the original manuscripts. Now, how would you respond to that?
Well, that's really a fallacious argument. It is true people have the originals, but think about this analogy. If you were to write a note and then 10 people copied it, and one person added a word and another person left out a word, but you have the other 8 to show what it is, it would be very easy to determine what your original note was. And in terms of the manuscripts, we have thousands of manuscripts, and even in the article, he admits that most of the differences between manuscripts is nothing more than a typo. So he almost contradicts himself in the next sentence.
You know, I think that these arguments, and as we look at them, I'm going to look at one more issue with you in just a moment, but the approach he's taking, these are some of the arguments that anti-Christian, anti-biblical peoples have brought to the table many, many times before. He's just rehashing what they actually have been saying for a number of years.
Yes, you're right, and either he's being dishonest, or he has not done the investigation, because he acts as if the only scholars are those who are on his side of the issue, when there are hundreds of excellent scholars in conservative evangelicalism who have responded to these and dealt with these charges, like I said, for decades.
Another of his major issues is the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and specifically the deity of Jesus Christ, which the author says it's not found in the Bible. And you say?
Well, that is actually one of the easiest ones to debunk. First, everyone knows that God the Father is God, but then you just look to see if there's any place where the Holy Spirit is called God, and you find that in Acts chapter 5 with Ananias and Sapphira, and Peter confronts them, say they have lied to the Holy Spirit, and then in the next sentence he says, you have not lied to men, but you have lied to God. So the Holy Spirit is God. And in Revelation chapter 1, John hears a voice as he's receiving these visions concerning Jesus Christ. He hears a voice behind him saying, I'm the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, and refers to himself as the Almighty. Then John turns around to see who is speaking, and then he says, I am the one who was dead, but who is alive forevermore. So obviously that has to be Jesus Christ, who refers to himself as the Almighty. So it's just very, very easy to debunk that.
You know, it seems that this Newsweek author does more to discredit himself than he does to discredit the Bible. In fact, he's talking about us as Christians not reading through the Bible. And I think that's one positive we can bring from the article. It's an exhortation for each of us who claim to be Christians to study God's Word more, to spend time and effort in understanding God's Word and read it from cover to cover. I think this is essential. But it doesn't sound like to me he's read any or much of the Bible at all himself.
You know, the interesting point that he makes, and in fact he's right about this, is the problem of biblical illiteracy in America. And that is true. A lot of Christians are not reading their Bibles, and beyond not reading them, even more importantly, they're not studying them the way they could and the way they should. And in fact, we're supposed to know the Bible and be able to give an answer to everyone for the hope that is in us.
Yes, absolutely. Praise the Lord for that. And speaking of the hope within us, he goes after Bible prophecy as well. The Bible tells us over in 2 Peter chapter 3, this is the way it's going to be in the end times. They will attack the Word of God, the truth of the Word of God, creation, the flood, and the fact that Jesus Christ is coming back. So what we're reading in Newsweek seems to be tangible evidence that we're living in the last days, doesn't it?
People forget that God judged the world by flood in the past, which means that he is powerful enough to judge it in the future. And in the next time he judges it, it will be by fire, not by water.
Well, indeed, I am so grateful for your research, David, as always, and helping us to focus on this fallacy that has been put forth by Newsweek magazine that the Word of God is not true. I want to remind everybody to go to my homepage, prophecytoday.com. There you'll see, in right in the middle of the homepage, a must-read, and it's an article by Daniel Wallace, a professor at Dallas Theological Seminary. Well, David, we hope and pray that you have a great ministry there in Uganda. Thank the Lord for the opportunity for you to travel all over the world and teach God's Word. We praise the Lord for the opportunities He's opened to you. Have a great ministry there. We'll talk again. I think you'll still be in Uganda. We'll look forward to talking to you.
Thank you, Jimmy. It's always a pleasure to be with you.